Hello.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, you're looking nice and sun-drenched right now.
Sun-drenched? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what that means.
And you can return the compliment.
You're not looking...
I don't even know
what sun-drenched means,
like,
to
like
offer the compliment.
The sun's been good to you.
The sun has been good to me.
Yeah. And me too. So, you know, getting kind of...
Sure.
You know?
Whatever.
I'm lightly toasted right now.
Are you? Okay, so you feel tanned.
Correct.
And that's important to you.
More like my natural
Here
element.
We go. We're not going down this road. We're not going down this road. One thing we forgot to say to our listeners, Happy Mother's Day. We never said Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
To the mothers.
Shame on us, because mothers are responsible for both of us.
What?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, our mothers are responsible for both of us.
I believe that my mother would say she's not responsible for me at the moment, like in this age.
I mean, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
Then mothers are responsible for all of us?
Exactly, which is why it's a big deal that we forgot to say Happy Mother's Day. But we're going to say it right now. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, the grandmothers, the aunties, the godmothers, the moms in the community that just look out for people.
And the moms to be. I've got a lot of moms to be out there.
And those who desired to be a mom,
be a
but
mom.
Didn't. Or those who desired not to be a mom, but they still show love. Honor to
so you just all everybody with ovaries, pretty much. I don't share that sentiment. To people who are mothers or will be mothers or are motherly to people, Happy Mother's Day. If you are none of these things, I'm not talking to you.
Or if you lost your mom, big care hugs sending out to you. That's a tough spot to be in. I have a cousin that just lost her mom, one of my cousins. And, you know, it's a sad time for a lot of people. So happy Mother's Day to those who are in bereavement right now.
I'm lost on how we're celebrating this holiday at this point. But, you know, love to everybody.
Yeah.
No matter what.
That's a fact.
Speaking of love, we're talking about love today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
It's a lovely season. Love is in the air.
It sure is. It's like, what's this season called? So cuffing season was in the fall. What's it? This is... This hot girl season? What is this right now?
Yeah, I think we're entering into a hot girl summer. Not yet. It's not summer just yet.
But the springtime is a season.
It's preseason. It's preseason for a hot girl summer. So we're prepping.
Okay.
Prepping for what that's going to look like and making sure, you know, we have the capacity for all things that hot girls do.
Okay.
I don't know what men are doing. Wilding out.
Revving up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stretching.
Okay. All right. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But we are talking about people who are in relationships.
Yeah.
We are talking about conversations couples should have about money. It's time.
Yeah. And this is also for pre-couples.
Is it?
For couples that are on the verge of taking it to the next level.
I don't agree. If we're not a couple, don't mind your business.
No, but we want to, you know, set the stage for
those
future.
Alan and I differ. If we are not a couple, if we're just kicking it, like we're just having dinner every once in a while, don't start asking me about my money.
Yeah, but the person's starting to get serious.
Okay, make sure both of y'all are starting to get serious, because if only one of you are starting to get serious, this is really going to take a turn for the worse.
Today's a big, important show, because I think a lot of couples break up over money issues.
Or at least argue about money issues. It causes a lot of drama. It causes rifts in the relationship. And it's primarily because of communication. You guys just didn't communicate. You did not talk about money early enough to get an understanding on how both of you feel or operate so that you could have made the decisions that you want to make within your relationship.
You know, I really enjoy reading scientific studies.
What?
There was a study by the Family Relations Journal that found that arguing about money early in a marriage is the number one predictor of divorce.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that,
Tiffany.
But I believe that. If you're arguing about money early in the relationship, there's some concerns. I mean, I think the bigger picture is that you clearly didn't communicate about money, and you probably didn't communicate about a lot of other things if you are now married and having these conversations for the first time.
Yeah, also, you need somebody to blame.
What?
In a couple. Like when the money ain't stacking up right.
That's not true.
Blame the other
That's
person.
That's not true.
That's why I break
There's
up.
Another survey that says couples who talk openly and frequently about money report being happier.
Yeah.
There's joy.
I love it.
Okay, we got to talk about this money. And this is not so that you all agree, but it's so that it's all out on the table and you guys can come up with a strategy that works for both of you instead of just finding out somebody ain't been paying the bills for the last 12 years and now y'all about to be put out.
Yo, have you ever had a major money surprise in a relationship?
No. So I've only been married once. And again, that's the only time we going to be talking about my money.
Wait, hold on. But prior you could talk to... about relationship money before marriage. Like, you never had like a serious boo thing and y'all...
We're going down a marriage pipeline?
No, just you're serious enough where money discussions happen at any level or a money surprise.
So, okay, let me just put this into perspective a little bit better. So I got married at 25, right? Okay.
Good age.
That's a good age. No, it's not. That's a lie. Hey, anybody 25 or younger, do not get married at this age. Don't even think about it. Hot girl summer, whatever you got to do, it's too early. But I got married at 25. Most of my serious relationships happened prior to that. So okay. I'm too young to be talking about money in those types of relationships, to be honest with you. So probably at this age, if I were in a serious relationship at this age, yes, I would probably talk about money. Again, if we were in a serious relationship at 22, 23, I'm asking if I could borrow $5, who's going to pay for the delivery? Like, we're not having real conversations about money, in my opinion.
Any couples that's hitting it should be talking about money.
Lies. Lies.
If you're smashing, you got to be cashing.
No,
okay?
Don't take that advice.
No, but here's one thing that I think is important, right? If you're going to have a kid with somebody and that's a possibility, if you are having those types of relations, you should at least have some general feeling about how they view money and if they're responsible or not. You don't want to find out after the baby is here that this person is wildly irresponsible financially. That's all I'm saying. PSA, I'll end it right there. That was my PSA, though.
I'm so afraid to even touch that PSA. I'm just going to move on. So research also shows that having talks early on ensures that you and your partner stay in control of your relationship. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, meaning that, you know, financial friction can build up and wreak havoc on your partnership. So you avoid this buildup. You avoid this tension. I know that happens in relationships. Sometimes you see your spouse spending money recklessly, but you don't know what to say. You don't know how to bring up the topic. You don't know what their money situation is. And so you just don't say anything. You're passive aggressive about it. You're talking to your homegirls about it. You're talking to your parents about it. And then ultimately, it just kind of bubbles over into a problem. I will tell you, so of a funny situation now, looking back at it. So when I was dating my husband, and we were serious. Mm-hmm. So I still wasn't talking about money, but we were serious. He bought a home.
Okay.
And his very first purchase for his home before he had any furniture or anything was a flat screen television. And this was a while ago, right? So flat screens were a bit newer.
They were expensive back then.
Yes. And he bought like a 42 inch flat screen television for like $4,000.
Lord.
It was like $4,000 or $5,000 from what I remember.
Yeah.
And
he had like the plasma joint. Like this was
it
before.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the higher price.
Buy a sofa.
And 42 inches is kind of
exactly
small.
Just in perspective to what we pay for flat screen televisions now. So I panicked thinking like, okay, it's not my money. It's not my house. But I don't think this is a really smart decision. So I called his dad.
Wow, you ratted?
I called his dad because I know he talks to his dad about money. He respects his father. Mm-hmm. And so I called his dad and I said, I'm a little bit concerned. He's out here wilding on his purchases.
And were y'all married yet?
No, okay. We weren't married. And he responded, I think, the way that a dad should. He said, listen, he's young. It's his money. If he has to make these type of decisions to make himself feel better or to learn, got to let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah. But that's a little bit of a money surprise. Like, you didn't know that he was.
Yeah, because he was a really responsible. He wasn't that type of person. Like, this was a one-time thing. He was really responsible. He was really conservative about spending and his money. So it just caught me off guard. So let's talk about some of the conversations or how the topics that need to come up in the conversations about money with your boo thang. Because this isn't a one-time conversation. This isn't a one and done. It's several conversations with several layers and topics. So first things first, how much you earn.
Okay.
Being open and honest about how much money you make.
On the first date. Go ahead.
No. is the first step to creating trust in one another and how you approach your finances. So for me, And we are speaking about me, myself, personally. Me, myself, and I. That's all I got till the end. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to talk about this until we're having a child. Now...
So you mean you could have been
married,
good and married, and he still won't know how much you owe?
No, I know that's irresponsible. The responsible thing is this is something that you should be talking about if you know this is a life partner for you, right? If you know this is someone you're going to be spending your life with. Also, if you guys are going to be making big purchases together. And those big purchases could be anything.
But let me ask you a question. So you were married, right?
Yes.
Did y'all file a joint tax return?
Yes.
Then he knows how much you make at that point.
Let's be clear. Like, and y'all didn't have a kid. My ex-husband was very mindful and responsible, and he sat me down during our engagement and said, okay, we have to talk about money now. You need to tell me about your debts, your income, a lot of different things. And I will tell you, it was a very difficult conversation for me to have because I wasn't raised that way. Mm-hmm. You know, my father only has girls, and so he always raised us to keep that Negro out your wallet. Mm-hmm. And so I was a bit caught off guard by him asking those questions. He had every right to answer those questions, and it was very relevant, and we did the right thing, but it was difficult for me. I do know that there are plenty of women who they don't know what their husband makes and vice versa. I think the responsible thing to do, though, is if you guys are making big purchases together, and this doesn't require you to be married, but if you're serious enough, if you're purchasing a home, real estate, even if it's like big trips, there's a variety of different things. But if you are together making big purchases, you should talk about how much each other makes. And at a minimum, if you guys are, again, if you see a future with this person, if you are thinking about getting married to this person or just having them as your life partner, you should be talking about how much you make.
Yo, why was this so uncomfortable for you? It seems like it was deeply uncomfortable.
I just said, why. I was raised by a father who repeatedly told me, you need to keep, like, no matter who you're dating, it's none of his business about your money because you will always be able to take care of yourself. You're not asking him for any money, so he doesn't need to know about your money. I'm not saying it's right, but that was my father's way of protecting his girls to make sure, like, we were never financially reliant on another guy.
Here is why I'm harping on this one. Like, it's not like saying how much money you have in your savings account, which somebody could now all of a sudden ask to borrow it. But I just didn't understand.
You've never had nobody clocking your wallet? Like, that's the real issue. Like, for me, like, mind your business. And again, I'm not saying if I love you and we're pursuing a future together, that's different. But for me, I don't need you being like, well, you make more money than me anyway, so you should pay. Mm. Or, you know, you got it. You make six figures. I know you got it. Yeah. Like, whoa, chief.
I would think this is a bigger deal if there's a huge disparity in income. Like, if one person's making,
but we won't know,
like,
until we have this conversation. Okay, so fine. If she's like, I make $240,000 and he's like, I make $45,000, it can cause for some discomfort.
Yeah. I also think people kind of generally know who makes more money in a couple.
Yeah. Who makes maybe they more don't know money, the but the gap. Yeah. I think the gap is where the surprise happens.
One thing that's
Plus, Black people know how to make a low salary look good. And you might think somebody's making way more than they're actually making.
And Black women know how to make
facts
a lot of money and not show it.
There,
like,
you
that,
go.
That is a fact.
Ladies.
And just be stacking money.
Stacking.
But, you know, one thing that becomes awkward in that situation where one person makes a lot more than the other is that, like, when you're making like $50,000 and then you see someone that makes $150,000, you would think that you have triple the money and that you are now.
Right.
You really don't, though.
Right.
Like, because people don't understand that our progressive tax system means the more you make, the more they take, and you can make a lot more but not have a lot more. And so people might have unrealistic expectations of what that amount of money means if they're nowhere near that amount. So I can understand trepidation in that situation.
Okay. Either way, this is a conversation that you should be having. Couples should be having these type of conversations. Another conversation, you should talk about your mindset and your upbringing, the things that you were taught. Ask your partner what your family's attitude was growing up about money. Like, that kind of leads to the issue that I had when my ex-husband approached me about my finances. It was just how I was raised. And that's just one sliver of how I was raised when it comes to money. I was also raised to not rely on debt. You know, I was raised that cash is king. So there's a number of different conversations, and that calls for other difficult conversations, because when it came time to purchase a house, I'm like, that's a lot of debt.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think this is a really important one, because a person's orientation towards money can cause friction down the road.
For sure.
I'll give you an example of, like, my parents both grew up without a lot of money. Both of their upbringings was really kind of low income, but my mom's side of the family grew up with more of a poverty mindset, where my dad's side of the family, they didn't really worry about not having a lot of money. There's big differences in that sort of poverty mindset, meaning like on one side of the coin, there was, you know, let's lie to the bill collectors. Let's, you know, try to get over where we can. On the other hand, it's let's try to make the most of what we have. And my parents had a ton of friction over this that I saw as a kid growing up based on those varying orientations around money.
But it's something that you work through, right? Like you have these conversations so that you can identify and get a greater understanding of the person that you're in a relationship with and then work through them. You know what I mean? Like that's really what this is about. This isn't a checklist to see if you guys agree about everything. It's getting a deeper understanding of your person and figuring out what's going to be our strategy for us to be successful financially together.
Yeah, we will be having a show in the future on this concept of money minds. Yeah. I think this is a whole show. There are some people that have a money mind of, I need to save every last dollar because I think that the world's going to end tomorrow. Some people are like, yo, I've got a happiness money mind. Like I want to spend everything because tomorrow's not promised. There's other people that are really concerned about other people and they think about money in relation to other people before they think about it for themselves. These orientations on money, I agree, Tiffany, hugely important.
Another big conversation to have is, what are your goals? What are your financial goals? It's very common for couples to have different plans for what their future looks like. And you kind of want to get your hands around that. You want to ask your spouse or your partner, what does success look like for you financially? What do you want your future to look like? So for example, you may want to rent a place for a couple of years. You know, you may want to travel. Other people may want to buy a house immediately and settle down. Questions should be asked like, when do you want to have a family? How many kids do you want to have? Do you want to buy a house and when? How often do you want to travel, or is travel even important to you? Like these are the type of things that matter because they cost a lot of money. These are big ticket items. And so they will help you get an understanding financially around what page you guys are on. I know when I got married, for my person, it was important to own a home. I didn't have any interest in wanting to own a home. I wanted to rent, primarily because I didn't know if we were going to stay in that city. I didn't know if we were going to like that neighborhood. Like I like flexibility. And so these are just conversations that you want to have. What are your future goals? What does success look like over the next 5 years, 10 years? What do you want this relationship to look like? Because it requires money.
Also on that note, it's life goals too. I'll give you examples in my relationship. Like I got married and I immediately quit my job and went back to business school. Like that would seem very,
very big,
aggressive.
Yeah.
Right. It would be a huge shock if we hadn't talked about it. But our game plan, which has worked out, is I'll go back to business school for these 2 years. You'll work during those 2 years. And then after that, we can start a family and you don't have to worry about working again. That was our game plan, but it required some talking. Like if I just up and quit one day,
Lord,
that would have been,
she'd have been calling her mom like, this Negro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're probably under the impression, right? If you don't have these conversations, he's working now. He will continue to work. Mm-hmm. I am making decisions based off of two incomes. And then you come home and say, look, bae, I quit. I'm going back to school.
Yeah.
That could be a problem when it's not discussed in advance.
Yeah, it's unfair to the other person if they don't know, so they're not preparing for it. Another aspect of that is like talking it out so that there's not a surprise when you get there, in the sense of there are some couples where that would never work.
Right.
Like one spouse is not comfortable with the other spouse not working, even if they're in school. And you want to have that conversation in advance.
Another question is, if we're going to have kids, do you want to be a stay-at-home mom? Is your expectation that you want to stay home with the kids? It might not be indefinitely, but maybe it's like the first 2 years.
Stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, right? Like, so that is a conversation that needs to be had because someone needs to prepare for that lack of second income for however long that's going to last.
Absolutely.
So these are the types of conversations you need to be having with your bae, boo, as long as you see a future with them. Do not listen to Alan. If y'all are just smashing, tell him to mind his business and keep it pushing. Okay? So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
We are back.
Yes.
Talking about money with your boo.
Love and romance.
Love and money.
No romance without finance.
There you go. Because ain't nothing going on but the rent.
Gotta have a J-O-B.
If you want to be with me. All right? So very funny. So when we were on SiriusXM a long time ago, I made the statement like, what type of guy I wanted to date. I don't know what show this was.
Yeah.
Well, but I was like,
you said it several shows, but go on.
It wasn't several shows, but I did say, I need you to have a job. I need you to have good medical benefits. And I need you to be over 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many DMs I get to this day?
Yeah.
Where men are like, yo, I'm over 6 feet tall. What's good? It's in my comments. It's in my DMs. I'm like, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
It's still a requirement. Don't get it twisted. But it's just funny that people even remember that and still comment. Like, I got a comment this week like, yo, I'm 6'1". Is this good enough? Is my height straight?
Yeah. Well, this is one of the earliest representations of thirst trapping that I've experienced.
No. Somebody asked me this question, okay? So that's how it came out.
It was not asked.
I wasn't out here advertising.
It was in your profile comment.
No, but I do find that funny. Okay, conversations you need to have.
And for me, if I was single, I'd say under 6 feet tall.
You're a goofball. Okay. This is the one. This is the hot ticket item. This is the one. This is the difficult one. So make sure y'all are already on good terms. Do not try to breach these conversations if y'all are already beefing. Okay. Good terms. Somebody done cooked dinner. It feels loving. It feels like a safe space.
Okay.
Your debt and credit scores.
Lord, wait a minute. It's getting
first of
warm
all,
in here.
You need to know your credit score in order to even have this conversation. But this is a conversation you really do need to have it. And I know this is uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Your credit score, like, that's a tough one.
This is like
I'm about to get married type of conversation.
For sure.
Or maybe for some, I'm about to get engaged. Like, this is one of those things that might require some time. Like, if your boo thing has bad credit and you might be good at repairing credit, you might want to get started on that in advance so that by the time the marriage comes,
are you not going to marry a person because of their credit score?
Well, look, I'll give you an example. So I'm married. I got married at 25 also. And one of the, I won't say conditions, but one of the goals that we had as a couple, my fiance at the time, now my wife, she had some financial things she needed to clear up. So that we could go into the marriage well. So, and some of those was debt and some of it was credit stuff.
Right. But to my point, it wasn't like, because you have these issues, I won't marry you. It's a strategy. You were working on your strategy together.
But what I'm saying is you want to kind of find out early.
Yes.
This is not guess what? We just got married 2 weeks later. Let me tell you that my credit is shot and that I've got gobs of debt. Because a lot of these debts will
transfer.
It could be sexually transmitted debt after a while.
Very much so. So first of all, it's very often that a person will hide how much debt they have or what their credit score is just out of shame or embarrassment. To be honest with you, like, just you will have to, it's really uncovering past transgressions. Your credit score could be bad for decisions you made a very long time ago, but it speaks to who you are now. You don't want to be judged, right? So you don't want to talk about your debts. You don't want to talk about your credit scores. You're probably hiding from them yourselves. You're probably not, you know, responding to debt collectors. You don't know what your credit score is. You just know it's bad. And you just know the last time you applied for something, it got declined, like it didn't work out. But these are things, if you are in a relationship, if you're in a safe space, that you should confront together and just share with one another.
Yeah, just share and just talk. One thing I will tell you about couples, most times there's at least one person in the couple that's good with money.
Yes.
Most times. Now, if both of y'all got bad credit, like, y'all just looking at each other at that point. But I think sometimes you can uncover who is the better person with money early on so that you can start to assign different roles for that person in the financial relationship. You know, because it's not always the dude. In fact, often it's not the dude that's good with the money.
Yes.
Many times it's the woman in the relationship.
Yeah. Also, because there's an expectation that you guys will be making big purchases together at some point. Again, whether it's furniture, travel, a home, car,
Disneyland,
some sort of cruise. You know, couples love to go on a cruise.
Carnival cruise, Royal Caribbean cruise.
Whenever we can cruise again. But whatever it is, and if someone plans on putting this on their credit card or you guys plan on splitting this expense.
Sandals.
Oh, like the resort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Breezes.
Lord. You got to have kids for these type of resorts. Yeah. And you apply for something, if you apply for a mortgage or apply for an auto loan and you can't get it or your interest rate is really high and you didn't know that that person had poor credit. And if you would have known, maybe you would have waited. Maybe you guys would have done things a little bit differently before you applied. These are the type of things that you want to know because they have an impact on your goals.
Absolutely.
And to your point, if this person has an extreme amount of debt, some of it can and will transfer to you once you get married. And so you guys want to have a plan for how you're going to tackle it in advance.
Absolutely. And on this note, like now's not the time to get on your high horse. Like if you've got the good credit and he or she has the bad credit, it doesn't mean that you're better than them.
At all.
It just means that you've approached things a little bit differently and maybe there's a chance for a learning moment. And again, don't judge the person. Because it's just their decisions. It's just the circumstances. Maybe their credit is bad because of a medical emergency. Or maybe it's bad because their trifling parents put the cell phone in their name when they were a kid. Like there's a lot of reasons why there might be bad credit, but it needs to be talked about in advance.
But also, it may be an indicator of some things. Like if you find out this person has bad credit because they don't pay their credit cards, they've had several cars repossessed and a lot of this stuff is recent. You need to know who you're dealing with. You need to know who this person is, right? So not to say you don't marry them, but again, to think about who's going to make the financial decisions in the household, who's going to be responsible for paying the bills. It clearly can't be Rashid because he doesn't like to pay his bills on time. And it can just be because you forget, maybe you're negligent, but you do want that to come out so that somebody can make the best decisions for the couple.
Yeah. When you're dating somebody, and I haven't dated in such a long time, but I would imagine there's like the representative that shows up for the first couple months.
Exactly.
And eventually they've got to get to know the real person.
So here's a sign, ladies. If, you know, every so often, maybe like once a month or so around the same time, maybe once every 2 months, you call your boo and it goes straight to voicemail and like you can't get them on the phone for like 24 hours. This happens kind of periodically. His phone probably keep getting cut off. And that might be a sign.
But doesn't it go doo-doo-doo?
I don't know. I haven't experienced this in such a long time. I think they're becoming a bit more discreet. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't think they're just putting you on blast. I think you got 48 hours before they put you on blast. But I think it's just like this, you know, I don't, before the lady gets on and saying, you know, this phone number is disconnected, I don't think they're taking it that far. Okay. But that's just like an initial sign. Like if his phone is just always turned off because he forgot to pay the bill. Yeah. You might think to yourself, I want to have a future with him, but I got to be responsible for making sure our utility stayed on.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
Just a thought.
If you notice every time you show up at his apartment, he's ripping a notice off the door.
Oh, gosh.
With red tape.
Right.
You might want to just inquire.
You know.
You don't want to end up with your stuff on the curb after you move in with
him. Right. Don't leave no stuff at his house if that's the case. Because it's going to be outside.
Yo, can I tell you a relationship surprise that a friend of mine had?
Sure.
Okay. So this friend found out that his spouse was a shopaholic. Well into the marriage, well into the kids. Like,
He wasn't paying attention if they didn't have kids and he didn't recognize.
She was like literally hoarding the shopping. She would shop and then hide it all throughout the house. She would put stuff in the attic. She would put stuff in closets. She would put it in bins. She just liked buying. She wasn't necessarily even wearing the stuff.
Not even using, just buying.
Just buying. Credit jacked. Debt sky high. No idea. Now, I don't know if she would have ever divulged this information, but he needed to be paying better attention for sure.
Absolutely.
They're divorced now.
I was getting ready to say that didn't work out. I'm sure that relationship didn't work out.
Not at all.
Okay. So other conversations, big conversations couples should be having, child support.
Yeah, this is a big one. It's a big one.
Huge one.
Can I tell you a child support surprise story that—
I hope it's not yours.
Yeah, it's not mine.
Okay.
Yeah, my kids are all inside my household.
There you go. There
are none that I don't know about that I'd be here for. But a person in my family was one day randomly pulled over for a moving violation. And it turned out he had warrants because he had a ton of unpaid child support. And the first call that he made was to his boo thing, his future fiance. She had no idea that he had child support in arrears. This is one of those things that needs to be disclosed, especially if it's backed up, because this can really negatively impact the finances of the home. Number one, you could be arrested at a moment's notice. Number two, they could start to garnish your paycheck, which then makes that person start coming up short with their half of the bills at the crib. So child support, super important.
Yeah. So first things first, before child support, you need to know this person has kids, right? Yeah, so that's a conversation that needs to be had.
All of the kids need to be disclosed. Don't be like, I got some kids. I got man. Right. There's also Junebug and...
Right. Don't just assume because you've met his son that that's it, right? So ask how many children do you have on earth and soon to be, right? Because I have been in a relationship with someone who I met his son.
You thought you were in the clear.
And, you know, nice child, met the son's mother.
Okay.
Seemed like we were all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
9 months later, this person had four more children.
Four?
Four additional children.
Wait. Hold on. Stop the scene for a minute. You're talking about four kids during the relationship were all born?
They were born.
So like the whole time y'all were together, he was...
No. We broke up 9 months later, right? Okay. These children started, like probably within the first 2 to 3 months, these next children were born.
Wow.
Right? But I wasn't told about them. I wasn't made aware of them, right? This wasn't, these weren't open conversations. They were very random, scandalous moments opening the mail.
Wow.
The police coming to the crib.
Why are the police?
Listen, phone calls from the hospital saying, hey, Keisha's in labor. You should get here.
Wait, why the police?
I don't exactly know, but very random accounts of just, where are you going? Literally one day he got a call from the hospital, such and such is on the way, such and such is having their baby, they're in labor, you should get here. He said, I didn't hear the phone call, right? Like I was sitting next to him. We continued to watch whatever we were watching. And he was like, I'm gonna run to the store right quick.
No, he did not.
Word is wrong.
And he went to the hospital.
And I only found out later because one of our mutual friends went to meet him up at the hospital and was like, do you know what happened today?
Wow.
And I was like, we watched a movie. He went to the store. He was like, nobody go to no damn store.
This was before Facebook.
Yes.
Before Black Planet.
No, this wasn't before Black Planet. But either way, you need to know how many children he actually has, right?
Or she.
Yes, absolutely. How many children this person has. And then do they owe any child support? And to your point, like, do you currently pay child support? How much do you pay? Will it increase over time? You know, oftentimes people are very optimistic about getting off of child support early for some reason. Like child support can go till a child is 18, or if they choose to attend college, it goes till after college. So, you know, how much are they paying? How much does that impact your expenses? Mm-hmm. Are you behind on child support? Because to your point, this is a huge red flag for issues that you might have to take on yourself if you do choose to pursue a future together.
Yeah, and on the topic, ask about alimony too. Like, are there any items that were part of your divorce decree that I might need to be aware of?
Yeah.
For example, I'll just give you one quick example. A friend of mine is divorced, and his divorce decree required not just a check every month, but also he had to carry all this life insurance.
And for her?
For the ex-wife.
I don't care what happened.
I'm saying the new wife is like, wait a minute, well, you got to at least get that much for me.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, why is that my problem?
What I'm saying is a spouse who doesn't know might feel some type of way that your ex has more insurance
that you're paying
death
for.
Benefit that's coming out of the family budget than what's coming her way. So I'm just saying, like, these issues of child support, these issues of alimony, just talk about it.
Okay. Other things you should talk about. What should we combine?
Yeah, this is when the fight broke out.
Is it? Listen, everything.
Between you and I. I know you and I don't agree on this.
We don't agree on these things.
Combining finances.
But couples should be careful about combining everything if you're not married, right? So first of all, if you're not married, I don't know what you're combining. Maybe you're sharing a mortgage because you bought a home together. But be mindful to keep things separate, to keep some things separate if you guys are not married. Now, also, keep your money separate, especially if you're not married. I'm not saying you can't have some money together. Maybe you invest in things together. Maybe you have a joint account. But do not throw all your money into the pot with a person if you guys are not married. Now, you're married.
Okay.
You and I differ here,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it should be strategic on what you guys combine. I do not believe that it's automatic that you guys should combine every single thing the moment you get married. I know Alan feels differently. I am a person who believes in joint bank accounts, but all of our money does not go into this joint bank account. We each have our own bank accounts where we can do what we please, so that we each feel independent in our own right to do things that we want to do without having to ask or make the other person aware. And I don't mean trifling stuff. I mean, like, maybe you want to get the full set of nails of acrylic this week instead of just the regular $10 manicure, and you don't want nobody clocking while you spent $60 or $70 down at the nail salon. Maybe you want to get the sew-in this time instead of just getting the blowout, and you don't need him to know that cost you $450. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the type of things as an adult, you just want to feel like you have the right to do some things without somebody clocking you. That is my perspective.
My perspective is close, but a little different. I just feel like, you know, y'all sharing a home, sharing kids, sharing a life. Why not put a significant portion in the joint account? It doesn't have to be all. Like, I believe that husband and wife can have a little, you know, side stash that they can use for personal things. Like a couple that I know, the spouse has been squirreling away money for so long, she's able to pay cash for a vacation home. That was a big surprise. It was a pleasant surprise for the dude. But I said to him, I'm like, man, you're lucky she ain't run off.
Right.
Run off with that money. Listen. So look, I just happened to grow up in a house where my parents put everything together. And so my bias is to put at least most of it together, if not everything.
I will also say, and this may be controversial, if you are in a marriage, but you don't think you might stay in a marriage.
Oh, Lord.
You should probably start putting more money away or making sure you have a separate account. I know there are several ladies who were told by their mothers, fathers, grandmothers, listen, you got to make sure you always got a little bit of something on the side. That's really serious. There are situations where, listen, I don't think this is going to work out and I need to start to prepare. Or like you said, even with the person that you knew, that woman, whoever put away all that money so much that she could buy a vacation home in cash, that's probably because she didn't like necessarily how finances were going in her situation, and she had to put a little fund to the side to make sure they were going to be good one day. Whatever it is, you can feel free to have joint accounts, but you need to talk about it. You need to know how that person feels, right? They may feel, one person may feel like me, the other person may feel like Alan, and y'all have to figure out what your compromise is. I think overall, what we want you to understand is this is not about agreeing. This is not asking these questions to see if you guys completely agree. It's asking these questions so that you can come up with a strategy that works out for both of you and so that you guys understand each other better.
Yeah, some of the strategies we've seen people do, in some cases, they have a bill account. That's the joint account. And both parties put the same amount in. In other cases, they put in ratios where if the husband makes less than the wife and it's a 70-30 split, then maybe the husband puts in 30, the wife puts in 70.
I don't like that one. I was going to say something different. So I was going to say a percentage that you guys both equally share, right? So dependent on your incomes, if I'm going to put in 40, you put in 40. Our 40 may look different, but we're each contributing the same percentage. Ain't nobody putting in more than the other if we both got jobs.
Okay.
Listen, y'all do what y'all want to do. This is not for Alan and Tiffany to determine what
sure
you should do in your relationship.
It sure is.
This is just to help you think through the conversations that you need to have and the type of outcomes that you can have.
Yeah.
You need to talk about who's going to pay the bills.
Yeah, and how you're going to approach them. Like, do you like to pay the bill as soon as it's due? Or are you like one of these people that wants to live on the wild side and
wait
just
a little bit.
Wait till they call before you pay?
Yeah, I have a friend who likes to pay all of her bills quarterly.
Okay, in advance or in arrears?
Quarterly in advance. That's just her thing. You know, you might want to talk to your spouse about that. I am a person who likes to pay the bill the moment that it comes through. And that is because I wasn't this person when I was younger in my 20s. I didn't even think about my bills. Like, I knew I had to pay them and I would get around to them. I would get around to paying them for sure. But sometimes getting around to paying them leaves you to forget. right? And that caused for strife in my early 20s.
And bad credit.
And bad credit. And now that I've resolved all of that, I just don't, as soon as I know the bill amount is available, I'm paying it.
Absolutely.
So have a conversation about how you're going to approach the bills and who is actually going to pay the bills every month. And this is not a place where ego should get involved, right? Like whoever's best with money, whoever is just the more organized person or the more responsible person is the person who should just pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Don't be like, I'm a grown ass man, I could pay the bill. Like if that's not your thing, if that's not your wheelhouse, cool. Turn it over to your spouse and let them handle it.
But be vigilant.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to give them the money, say you're going to pay the bill, and then you find out that your phone got cut off. Mm. So pay attention.
Yes. So we're going to take a break.
Yes.
But we will be back. More important conversations that you need to have with your bae about money.
Right now.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's needed to the North Star.
This is Ray King, COO of the North Star and co-host of the podcast Woke at Work. We've heard from so many of you about how much Woke at Work has meant to you and how much you're looking forward to new episodes. Well, season 2 is available for you to listen to on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. And new this season, we have video episodes available exclusively to our members at the North Star. Want to get each episode a week early and actually watch our guest interviews? Head over to www.thenorthstar.com today to become a member for as little as $10 a month. Thank you so much for your support of Black-owned, women-led media.
Okay, so we are back.
Yes.
We are talking about difficult conversations that you need to have with your person, your spouse, your bae, your boo thing.
Wait, you added difficult.
Your
before
honey
it was
love.
Just it was just conversations couples should be having.
Sometimes these things, depending on who
it
you're
doesn't
talking
have to,
to
be
it
difficult.
Doesn't have to be difficult. Yeah. 100%. But it could be. And if you're not having these conversations with an open heart and no judgment, it could get tight. It can get tense.
Yeah. So let's jump into the next one. So What are your beliefs about money in relation to the kids?
Mm.
Like there's a lot of schools of thought about kids and money. Like there's the Ocho Cinco school of thought, which is even though I have significant financial resources, I still want my kids to go out and work so that they can learn the value of hard work. Another view is we worked hard so our kids don't have to.
Well, that's that nonsense, but
maybe you're in the middle, but you should talk about it.
Yeah. Are you going to give your children an allowance? Again, are you going to require them to work? There's a number of things that you guys have to figure out just so that you can get on the same page. Please do not leave this up to the moment that your child is now 7 and one of y'all is just throwing money at the child and the other feels some sort of way. Like have this conversation now, well before having children, so that you can understand what the dynamic will be, so that you're prepared for it and so that there are no surprises.
We should do a whole show on this topic of teaching kids about money.
No, we have a great show around that and we will have that soon. Absolutely.
Other topics is, do you have enough money for emergencies?
Because
That's a big one. Like emergencies are the things that cause financial strife. And there's a stat that says that the majority of Americans could not afford a $400 emergency. So
right.
You want to know, can they afford an emergency?
And if not, how do we change that? And how do we make sure as a couple we have an emergency fund to take care of anything that happens to either one or both of us?
Love it.
Okay. What's your noodle budget?
That's an interesting one. You got to break that down.
Yeah.
Because so, I like noodles, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Even really like noodles like that. Mm. So your noodle budget, that's the amount of money you spend in a month when you are completely tightening your belt. Like this is not, no, this is the no frills budget. If shit got real.
Mm, Lord.
Okay. And we can't have any extras. One of us might have lost our job, whatever the case is. How much money do we need to keep the lights on and survive.
Not starve.
Not starve.
Another word for the noodle budget is the top ramen budget.
Yes. If y'all get to a point where y'all got to eat top ramen and just keep the house and keep things moving. I don't even know. It doesn't even have to be comfortably moving. Just moving. What is your noodle budget? That's when you don't have no Netflix.
Yeah, no Netflix.
Okay, no nails.
Yeah.
No nail appointments.
Nails just long.
Eyebrows just...
Yeah.
Just growing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is like your Uncle Ben's budget.
There you go.
All we're eating is rice for a while.
For a while.
This is a good number to know because there might be a situation where somebody loses their job. There might be a situation where someone needs to stop working because they have to care for a loved one. You just need to know.
Yeah. And it allows you to always be mindful in the back of your head. If things get real,
yeah.
Can I cover it? I know up front what our noodle budget is, right? Yeah. To your point, if one person loses their job, if there's some sort of family emergency and there aren't two incomes coming in anymore, or maybe there are no incomes, COVID happens,
yeah.
And there are no incomes coming in anymore, but you got some savings and you understand, all right, this will get us through the next couple. We know our noodle budget. We got to tighten our belt. We've already figured this out. There's no surprises. We're very clear. And this is how long we can get by before needing to do something different. Or you know what? If it ever gets that bad, I know that I can cover it with my income. So we should feel some level of just comfort and security if that ever happens.
Yeah, my mom grew up so poor, eating so much rice. She didn't eat rice for years as an adult. She knows her noodle budget based on that experience. Hopefully you don't have to endure that to come up with your noodle budget.
Yeah, and I don't think you need to be in a relationship to identify what your noodle budget is. Like, I think as an individual, you need to know what your noodle budget is. If anything happens, I mean, we are coming through COVID right now, and a lot of us had to face our noodle budget.
Yeah.
It would have been great to know it in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we should know, listen, at the end of the day, I just need this much to just survive and get by. We hope that never happens.
Yeah.
But at least it's something that you can know and have settled and prepare for.
Absolutely.
Other conversations you need to have are around retirement and insurance policies. This is super important.
Yeah, this is a big one. We recently did a call with a couple who, beautiful couple, but one spouse was well prepared for retirement and the other wasn't. And it was like a stark difference. And when that's the case, what's retirement really going to be like? Like,
right.
Is it really like, is one person going to keep working while the other one is chilling, or is everyone going to retire at the same time? But now y'all are living on a noodle budget. Like, y'all should talk about this, especially years in advance, so that there's no surprise at the end of the day.
Yeah. So how are we preparing for retirement? Do you want to retire? When do you want to retire? That's a very important question to ask, because there are people who are like, listen, I got to be retired by 50. And there are other people who are like, listen, I'm going to retire at 67 and take my full Social Security. Those are two very different ages.
And there are some people that are like, look, they're going to have to bury me at my desk because I'm never going to stop working.
But you want to have that conversation so you can not only prepare what retirement looks like for you two together, but financially, you can wrap your head around what type of money will be needed for a retirement. Insurance policies really matters because one of y'all going to die. And
I'd argue that both.
Both of you are going to die, but one of y'all going to die first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's really important to know that something is in place to take care of you and your household when one person dies before the other.
Yeah.
And so it's not good enough to say, hey, do you have insurance? Yep. Cool. Bet.
Yeah,
no.
Not good enough. No.
You need to know how much insurance they have. And honestly, if you guys are moving towards having a more serious relationship, I can guarantee that they will immediately need more insurance.
Yeah, that's a fact. Most people need 10 to 20 times their salary in insurance.
And that sounds like a really big number. That sounds ridiculous. And like, I don't have all that money for insurance. But oftentimes insurance is really, really reasonable.
Yeah, really inexpensive.
Yeah, we just recently looked at,
Oh my gosh. Why you got to bring this up?
I wasn't going to do it like that.
Tiffany's okay? Out here bragging.
I just was going to say.
Oh my gosh.
I was recently looking at an insurance policy that I have for $1 million in insurance.
Okay.
My payment is $76 a month for $1 million in life insurance.
And how much is mine?
Listen, triple? I wasn't going to put
okay.
your business
mine
out
there. Mine is triple. I'm a little bit older. Sure. I don't ride Peloton every day. Fine.
Yours was like 12 times more.
Oh my gosh.
It was like $1,000.
Not a month. It wasn't $1,000 a month. It wasn't, it was not, it wasn't, no, nah, cancel this. Let's.
All I'm saying is mine. No. I wasn't talking about you. You put yourself on.
It was like triple.
Mine was $76 a month for $1 million of life insurance for a lot of people. Listen, if you make $100,000 a year, that's 10 times your income.
Yeah.
Cover right there.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't think like because it has these high benefit amounts that like it costs a lot. It really doesn't. And it's really important. And it's something that you should all have and you should not be afraid of. And when you think about insurance, please do not just think about the life insurance that's provided by your employer, because if you lose that job, all the money that you paid into that life insurance policy is null and void.
Yeah.
Insurance policy is gone.
Sadly, we know a lot of couples where one of the spouses passed, and in a lot of cases there's young children. And this is one of those things that needs to be talked about. Like, this is one that really, really needs to be talked about. Not just life insurance. I'd also add in disability insurance. Like, you're way more likely to be disabled than to die early.
I will add in medical benefits.
Yeah.
Like, make sure your person has medical benefits.
Yeah.
If your person's been walking around with a toothache for the last 2 years and haven't approached a dentist, it might be because they don't have any medical benefits.
Lord.
That matters in the case that maybe they get really sick one day and they have to go to the hospital. And now you guys are taking on a large amount of medical debt because they don't have proper coverage. So you need to ask, hey, do you have medical benefits and are they enough? And do we need to do something differently, especially if you're dating an entrepreneur or a student?
I know we're running short on time, but I have a couple more that I want to make sure that we get to.
Let's do it.
Couples need to talk about their parents and like, will we need to support our parents financially in the future? Will they ever need to live with us? Will we ever need to pay for anybody else in the family? This is something I don't think enough couples talk about. And I think a lot of us are living in that sandwich generation where we're caring for young kids and our parents at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question because oftentimes there are guys who think, you know, I want my mother to live with me. And there are women who are like, ain't no way in hell. Mm. These are conversations that need to be had. And maybe it's not that serious, but you do plan on taking care of your parents in some capacity. And that might look like putting them in a home that has to be paid for or paying for help that lives in the house. Or you plan on taking care of your sister's kids because she ain't doing what she's supposed to be doing. Whatever the case is, these are conversations that need to be had. And they're delicate, so please be sensitive. But just getting those thoughts out on the table will allow for the lack of surprises later on down the line.
Yeah, because there can be budget conflicts. Like, you might want to put money into a college fund for the kid, but they might want to put money towards paying their mom's bills every month. Like, there's a lot of adults that pay their parents' bills on a regular basis and have been doing it for years. Don't be surprised one day when the statement shows up and you're like, well, wait a minute, what was this? Other money conversations people should have is like, what would we do if somebody asked us to borrow money? Like, I've seen big fights with couples when folks ask to borrow money because a lot of times the spouses are not on the same page with that view.
It also depends on who's asking.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it's definitely about like, what's our loan policy, right? Like how much money are we lending out at one time? Do we require it back?
Mm.
What's the family policy versus the friend policy? Right? Like I said, these are real conversations that should be had.
What's a list of acceptable reasons?
Yeah, for sure. Like if it's just because I'm going to Vegas and I'm trying to do it big or...
Cosmetic surgery.
Or I'm behind on my mortgage.
Or I need to bail my son out.
Wow, right?
There's a lot of different reasons. Like some couples might not be good with that.
So something to talk about in advance. Especially if you know you got a relative that's always going to jail. Listen, just bring it up. Like, I got a little pot over here because Keith stays calling me every once in a while.
Yeah.
I had to bail him out.
And he had looked out for me when I was little.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you do want to have those conversations.
Hopefully y'all are still together at this point after all these conversations.
Don't have all these conversations at one time. Like, that's what we said. This is not a hit it and quit it type of situation.
This is overtime.
Read the room.
Yeah, for sure.
Be open-minded. You might have to loosen up. Maybe it's a little liquor involved. Maybe you need to be a little bit loose and calm.
Maybe some candlelight.
Rose petals. No, because I need to see you. I need to know if you're lying. I need to look in your face. You might need to bring a laptop, right? Y'all might have to get some online accounts open so we could just be extra transparent. But these are conversations that you should have throughout your relationship as it gets more serious, and if you really want to have a successful financial future with a person, these are the things that you should be talking about.
Here's what I'd love to ask. any couple that's had really poignant money conversations, tweet us. Our Twitter page is at Momentum Advice. Tell us some of your stories. What are some money conversations that you had with your significant other? How did it go? What'd you learn?
Also, for any couples who are going through each other's finances right now or preparing for retirement and you kind of don't know what to do and you're a little bit lost, hit us up on our website. We'll review your finances with you. We'll do an analysis, complimentary analysis. We'll just give you our feedback and you can go on your merry way. Momentum-advisors.com. Go to the contact page, set up a complimentary consultation, and we'll help you out. We'll hook you up.
I love it.
We're not going to get involved in the fight, though. Like, listen, we're going to focus on the numbers and a plan, and we're going to move on.
Yeah.
But we can help out.
And we might step on some relationship toes, but
that's
okay.
Alan. I'm not going to step on the toes.
It's out of love. Yes, you will.
We will definitely give you tough love, and we will give you the advice that you need for you guys to move forward towards your goals.
And since we're asking for stuff, why not visit thenorthstar.com, get a membership.
And give us a review. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, wherever you're listening to us right now, and just leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Tell the world what you think. It helps us register highly on these podcast lists, and it helps people find us.
I love it. I'm all out of stuff to ask for.
Me too. I'm done. So to Alan's point, after you have these conversations, I hope you're all still together. But if you're not, it's probably for the best. That's all I'm going to say.
Word.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. 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 Momentum.